Welcome to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates, where we believe that advocacy is the answer. Hey, everybody, this is Angela, and I'm here with John. And we'd like to welcome again Kristen Pisani-Jacks, the training director at the NACC. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And just to kick it off, John and I were both at the NACC conference, and we wanted to take just a minute to reflect on that experience. So, John, I'll let you go first.
Oh, yeah. It was so nice to be back in person. You know, I've done the online conference during the pandemic, of course, when we couldn't be in person, but it was so nice to be in Baltimore with everyone and to see people that you hadn't seen in 3 years, really, since, you know, my last in-person conference, I think. And it drove home the point, to me anyway, of the importance of connectedness and connecting, and all of us connecting at this conference on a regular basis across state lines. I think that's so important for the growth of our profession. And just also hearing from a lot of new voices and a lot of fresh voices that I hadn't heard from at other conferences. You know, every year you go and you get new perspectives, and I think that's very valuable.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Really enjoyed talking to a bunch of people, communicating with some of our listeners, and getting ideas was really fun. And it's also, it reminds me that this is an area where we now have the benefit of being able to do both. And so we do want to talk some about the good things about the format and the online conference that's coming up. It gives people a chance to come that couldn't be with us in Baltimore. But before we move on to that, Kristen, I'd like to invite you to kind of give us some of your reflections on the conference and the takeaways that you got from everybody getting together.
Yeah, I'm glad you said connectedness, John. I feel like that's such a good word to describe the feeling there. Over and over again at conference, I was just really struck by what a smart, driven, empathetic field we have. And we saw that so much in our presenters, in the diversity of presenters. We had presenters from all over the country. We had presenters who were in all different stages of their practice, panelists who represent children, who represent parents, agencies. We had numerous panelists with lived expertise from all different disciplines. So that was just really exciting for me to see that sharing of ideas, and that not just amongst our expert presenters and facilitators, but also among our peers as well. As you noted, it's been a long time since we've all been together in person. So to be able to reflect after those sessions, talk to each other about the ideas we're hearing, the ideas we're going to go back and implement into our practice, that was just really exciting for me as well.
Well, and I think I loved the theme of the conference around learning and unlearning. I think that's such an important, sometimes unlearning is way harder than learning something new. And it felt to me like throughout the conference, there was a big focus on unlearning and learning as it relates to race equity. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it was really wonderful to see how much that theme seemed to really resonate with the audience as well as the presenters. We heard those words come up over and over again, and they often formed the structure for a lot of the sessions. Certainly, we had sessions that were dedicated to race equity and anti-racism where that was the main focus. But I think what we as attendees also saw is that those concepts of equity were really integrated throughout the sessions, and particularly also came up in sessions that were really responsive to what's going on right now in child welfare. So some of our listeners may have had the benefit of going to the sessions on ICWA that talked about the Brackeen case, or the LGBTQ session that talked about representing LGBTQ youth and what has become a very hostile climate for youth in foster care, or to the session on reproductive justice and abortion access for youth in care. So something that I think went really well about the on-site conference and that I'm excited to see continue in the online conference is really being responsive to hot topics and what's going on right now and what practitioners need to know today, tomorrow, and in the next week to really represent their clients well.
And that brings me to another question. So the online conference is completely new content, correct?
Yes, we have one repeat session from our on-site conference, but otherwise it is all new content, 17 sessions that folks can come to and hear, again, these same themes of learning and unlearning, of prioritizing concepts of equity, of prioritizing voices of individuals with lived expertise in the system, as well as practical, concrete takeaway tips. And the added benefit of the online conference is that all of the sessions are recorded and available to attendees. So if you can't go to one of our concurrent sessions and you're having a really hard time choosing, you don't have to worry about that too much because you can listen to and watch the recording afterwards and get all that really great content.
Wow, that's a really big benefit. I think that's sometimes one of the challenges when you have so many good tracks is FOMO, like, oh, if I go to this one, I'm not going to get the other. So that's a great benefit. I did want to point out, John and I were talking earlier about, while not a theme of the conference, I just wanted to highlight what an excellent job NACC is doing around youth voice. I think we all at the local level talk about wanting to do more of it. And I'm just really seeing it in action. And as you said, throughout the presentations, every work group, everything NACC is doing right now has a component of youth voice. And I just think it's a really good model for people to follow in their own offices and own practices.
Thank you so much. Yes, we've definitely tried to put that at the forefront of our work. And it is an ongoing effort that we continue to learn from our National Advisory Council about, from other partners about. And so we're glad that the results of that are being seen by the field.
And that's the value, I think, of attending in person or online is you go and you absorb, right? It's not you kind of absorb everything that you take in, and you might walk away, as I did, going, I'm doing some things right, but you know what? I need to do some things better. And one of the things for us is youth voice, right? Is I need to find a way. You know, it's tricky, it's challenging, but you can learn from others who are doing it better than you, and you walk away and you can have a better practice or a better office. And I think that's true of online or in person. I love the in person, but I got to say, during the pandemic, when we were all, you know, disconnected as we'd ever been in our lives, I remember sitting in the online conference going, I feel that connectiveness. I feel that. And I think that that's still probably going to be offered somewhat this year, right? Is there is some ways you guys are trying to keep people connected, even if they couldn't travel or weren't comfortable attending in Baltimore?
Yes, absolutely. Once it became clear that we could go back to our on-site conference, we did really think critically about, do we maintain that online component? And the answer was really a resounding yes, because we wanted to make not just this important content and education and learning available to attendees who can't or aren't comfortable or just don't want to travel right now. We also want to make that sense of connection in the online space available. And I think we've all, because we've had to, become really good at that. So we really have encouraged our presenters, and our presenters have responded to that encouragement to include interactive components in the webinars that you'll see during the online conference. So when you attend a live webinar, it's not going to be a panel just talking at you or lecturing at you for 90 minutes. You're going to expect to see engagement in the chat. You're going to expect to see activities that you can participate in from the comfort of your home and office. So we're really excited to still be able to bring some of that connectedness, that camaraderie, that collegiality to the online space as well, and learn from each other.
So, Kristen, I wonder if at this point you could give us the details again for our audience. We will have a direct link in the show notes for registration for anybody that would like to go and do that. But could you tell us a little more the exact dates, and then also a little more about the content that people can expect?
Yep. So the dates of the online conference are Wednesday, September 21st through Friday, September 23rd. As I mentioned, we have 17 different sessions available. Some are plenaries, some are breakout sessions. We're still continuing our theme of bridging theory to practice, learning and unlearning to drive effective advocacy. So when you come to the online conference, you will find sessions on zooming in on bias, where you'll learn from a panel of youth who have been involved in the foster care system about their experiences of bias in the system. You'll learn from a panel of resource parents and parents talking about how they've forged effective partnerships to facilitate reunification. We've got some fundamentals on fire, where we're going to be talking about taking advocacy to the next level and advocating for those due process rights of our clients that often get overlooked. We've got a session that I'll be co-presenting on cross-examination, where we're going to give really practical tips on how to prepare and execute an effective cross-examination, including impeachment of a witness. We have our keynote session is going to be featuring two of our Red Book contributors from our new edition, who will be talking about the process they went through to draft the introductory chapter, which really contains an important call to action for all advocates, and so many more. So we're just really excited to feature these sessions and to bring this content to you virtually.
And so anybody can sign up for that, but anybody who went to Baltimore also can participate, correct?
Absolutely. If you came to the on-site conference, you are automatically registered for the online conference, and we hope to see you there. If you didn't get a chance to join us in Baltimore, you still can register for the online conference on NACC's webpage, and we'll be taking registrations right up and until we start the conference.
Excellent. What sounds like a great opportunity. I know we'll be there. And we hope those of you who didn't get to come to Baltimore will take this opportunity to feel that connectedness that we did, and to learn from some really great experts. So thank you so much for listening. If you want to register, please click the link in the show notes. And Kristen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And we hope to see you all online in September.
You've been listening to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates. Please take a moment to subscribe and spread the word. Thank you.